What happens to that man that is actually in the gym and running and doing all of those things? The kind of things that come at people, when they come at him, his body is wired differently. He's stronger, fitter, right? It's the same thing spiritually, right? So be a part of these things. And that's why I always tell people before, years before now, I don't talk about my prayer schedule, but I like to let saints know now. I don't just think we just come here, we preach, we hug Sister Simi, and we go home. No. We pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. Yeah, Pastor Chris Akulume was speaking the other day to us. He said, forget about my fine suit. You don't want to see my knees. Amen. 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 So when you see people talk about, oh, there's a miracle there, oh, this. The man said, you like my face and all that. You don't want to see my knees. Amen. And why am I sharing these things with you? So that we will not just be ministers of God that look like magical. You just say it's just them. That's why we tell you how it happens. In the days of old, ministers sometimes don't even tell you the secret. Or they will just say, that's what we do. But in this generation, we are holding people by their hands and saying, this is the way we go. You will see us as we are growing. You will see us as we pray and enter prophecy. You will see how we raise the dead. Amen. Amen. So you will know that God is not biased. In every nation, all them that call upon him, he actually responds to. Amen. Say, I'm a minister of the gospel. Please know, no prayer is wasted. Not one. Not one. If only our eyes be open to see and we are seeing much more, no prayer is wasted. Especially when you pray in the spirit. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Just be a believer of God's word. Don't wait to, don't say, when we cross over to the other side, you say, wow, if I had known, I would have prayed more with Pastor D. You don't have to be like that. Just be a believer of God's word. He that prays in other tongues edifies himself. He that prays, build yourself upon your most holy faith. Take instructions. Instructions in God's word is God speaking to us. Instructions in the word of God are supernatural already. Let's pray. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified and your name is glorified. Praise God. Take instructions in the word and be big about it. Amen. Amen. Don't be that man that sees instructions in the word of God and just thinks it's normal. It's just one of those things. No. We are big about it. Because we know the word of God is supernatural. Amen. Amen. Say the word of God is supernatural. That's what the book of Hebrews 4 verse 2 says. He said the word of God was preached unto them as unto us. But the word did not profit. It's supernatural. The word is supernatural. Every action in the word is a supernatural step. He said the word did not profit them, having not been mixed with faith. So when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I know that, I'm being built up. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. He says, when I pray in the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13 and 14. When I pray in the Spirit, my spirit prays. What is your spirit? The part of you that is God. The part of you that is God. So that means praying in the Spirit is perfect prayer. So you cannot miss it praying in the Holy Ghost. So I say, I know. So when I get to a point in my life, I really don't know what to do. I can say, Rashu Panagahaya. I'm praying well concerning the matter. Why? He that prays in the spirit, his spirit prays. So I am doing something that I'm not going to let my men be a part of this. When I want to pray God's perfect will, he says, he that prayeth in the spirit, my spirit prays. The next verse, verse 14 says, what then will I do? I will pray in the spirit. And I will pray in my understanding also. Amen. 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 So God has given us the privilege of having a language that is supernatural. Ratu Shakata is supernatural. But you can say it's just one of those things. But say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Come on, say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer in the word. I don't wait till I feel it. If he said it, it is it. Says Jude 1:20, building up yourself upon my most holy faith. So when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I say I'm built up. Some say, how do I know? He said it is enough. Are you not waiting for feelings? I don't wait for feelings. One of my mentors, Mitugu, said, I don't go by how I feel. As long as he said it, it is it. Amen.
Amen.
So you praise, we've been built up. We were built up for 6 hours this afternoon. Built up. Why? He said it. Amen. Church, amen.
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 Church, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get into the teaching. Amen. Just like, okay, we're looking at to proceed in the year. Some say, this year is going, yeah, we're still talking about proceeding. We are still proceeding. Amen.
Yes.
All right, yeah, we are. As we go, as we are in year 2024, I've said there are three things you must realize. That this year is up to the instructions that you follow, the things that you prioritize, and the choices that you make. Last week we talked about prioritizing, amongst many things, prioritizing relationships. We said that. How many people remember we said that? Vertical and horizontal relationships. Yeah. Because God walks through men in every generation. What is going to happen for you would always happen how? Through men. Amen. Through
men.
Even when God says in the book of Philippians 4 verse 19, the Lord shall supply. How many?
All.
How many does God supply?
All.
So do you have needs in the house? What does God, what's God's promise concerning the one that has supply your what? So is it normal that believers will have needs? Is there a response to that in scriptures? What is the response? The Lord is a? So what should the needy amongst us remember? That God is a supplier. So when we're looking at the mechanics of how God supplies, God now says, I supply all your needs. How? According to his riches in glory. That riches in glory is who? Believers. So he's trying to say that I will supply you through men. The point I'm trying to make is that God walks through men. So, as an and you know, in life, in this life that you're in, it's funny. God walks through men, but who will hurt you? Men. Betray you? Men. Who will bless you?
Men.
It's about men. So, you are strategic about who is around you to bring them closer, there are people you have to ensure that you take them farther. Amen.
Amen.
How many people, you already have an inner witness that you should not be around some certain friends? You're still waiting for Buki, my daughter. Timothy is not good for you. No. The inner witness, that thing within, that's how God speaks the most. Amen. That unsettled feeling. Say, I'm a born-again
Christian.
God leads me. Come on, God leads me. Come on, God leads me. What should the confused man believe? God leads him. As many, are you seeing how to use God's word and apply faith to it? As many as are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God. What do I say? I'm a son of God, so I am led by the Spirit. What should the man that is a believer expect God to do in a situation? Lead him. You see how it is? Don't say, well, this dude. No. He says, look at James 1, verse 6 and 7. I'm not even entering my teaching. I'm not. James 1. Because you must understand this thing about God so that you don't think God is partial, God loves some people, God determines when people have miracles. No, it's not. James 1. Look at verse 6. That's why it's not just enough that God said something. It's your interaction with what was said. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is your active interaction. Faith is the active interaction of the believer to what God has said. I'll say it again. Faith is your active interaction to what God has said. So faith is not just, I said something. Why are you saying it? He said it. So he said it, I am saying it to convince my heart. Faith is not me trying to get God to do something. Faith is my response to what he has said. So for example, I just read in the scriptures, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God, right? And so I realize that I'm a child of God. Then I say that I am led by the Spirit. In the midst of confusion, what do I say? I am led by the Spirit. I know what to do. You don't, that's where you don't talk foolishly. The Bible says, I'll get it for you now. The Bible says the lips of the fool is his destruction. He will damage his soul. Hold your hands in James 1. Let me show it to you in the book of Proverbs. The lips. It's in Proverbs 18. Look at verse 6. Somebody has another version apart from KJV. Any other version? I'll take it. I'm reading verse. Okay, let's read verse 7. Anybody?
The mouth of the fool is the undoing.
The mouth of the fool is the
undoing.
What else?
And their lips are a snare to their very life.
Why did I say that? People think we confess because of God. No. The lips is a snare to your mind, to your soul. It's there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Church, are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Their lips are our undoing. God had said he will lead you. That's all God will say. That statement is very supernatural. It will bring you out of darkness. It will bring you out of anything. But it's there. You are the one that will say it in the midst of where you feel that, you know what, I don't know what to do. Say, God leads me. Amen. Say, God leads me. God leads me. God leads me. It doesn't look like God is going to. You say, God leads me. And on those grounds, you take actions. God leads me. You know, I could share many stories of supernatural ones, but God leading you naturally every day should be enough for you. I remember going for a crusade in Eastern Africa. I said it many times, and it was raining. And because of the way the rain was, it covered everywhere. There are major gullies, meaning if you miss your turn, you would die. I sent my crusade team back to the lobby, got into the bus because I'm an administrator by training. Everybody left, and I realized that I was the only one and my colleague. We didn't make plans for ourselves. We're in the midst of a jungle where we went for a crusade. Everywhere is dark now. He said, what are we going to do? If we miss our turn, we get into the gully. I said, God, grass, bush, not grass, bush. You know the difference between grass and bush. Grass is junior brother. Bush is your height. Bush everywhere. I said, God, you got to lead us now. Thank you because you lead us. And I lie not. Only the brother that was with me, Okpayemi, was there. We saw something that came like lightning, and it divided the place and was leading us out of that place. That was supernatural. It's supernatural. Yes, it is supernatural. But you say, oh, wow, that's so supernatural. But God leads in our everyday too. That little nudging, stop. But what should be your God leads me. The leading of God is my supernatural advantage. You see the way that man talked? It's my supernatural advantage. So it doesn't even matter the year, the prognosis. There is a God that leads me. And what is my path in that journey? I know that for the word God says to me to be in manifestation, I must do James 1 verse 6. We are back there. But let him ask in faith. Nothing. Okay, we'll be in verse 6. You know, when I share that story, people, because of the way I say, people just think the lightning just came once and was saying, turn left, turn right. No. It led us by faith through the journey. Meaning the lightning will come and divide. It's not this one that maybe is just, it will come from up, it will come down, it will divide it going left. We move with the lightning and we stop. We will not say again, God, you lead us. Glory to God. It will come again. Right. Then we go again. It will come again. We were just going left, right, straight, left. We just found ourselves in the lodge. And people were like, oh, brother, die, where we? Oh, God leads us. We didn't tell him the story. Amen. Look at James 1 verse 6. But let him ask in faith, not in wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. This is the issue here, verse 7. Let not that man think he shall... He shall receive anything of the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So it's not, see, listen, Your not receiving doesn't stop the giving of God. It stops your personal receiving of that which God has made available. Praise God. Church, praise God. Say, God leads me. God guides me. Oh, God leads me. God guides me. Amen. And so, you know, yeah, we're talking about the prioritizing. And we said you should prioritize, you know, fellowships. The week before, we said prioritize putting God first. This week, we will be talking about prioritizing the love walk. Amen. And like I always say, I always talk about revelation before instruction. What did I say? You must know who you are before you know why you are doing what you are doing. Amen. Because in this service today, if we have the time, we will define what sin is to the New Testament believer. But we have to get there slowly. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Let us look at who you are. So before you know who you are, you know who the Father is, and then you find yourself in Him. Galatians 1 verse 1. Let's see who Daddy is. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men. Are you there? But by Jesus Christ. Are you there? Galatians 1 verse 1. And God the Father. Who is that God the Father? What did He do? Who raised Him from the dead. So who is your Father? The one from verse 1. Who is your Father? The one who raises from the dead. So your Father is that one that supplies life. Amen. Amen. So there are two planes on the earth. What is it? Death and life. Amen. Which is all it's been all about. But who is your Father? Your Father is a supplier of life. Who raised Him from the dead. So when you say, so the Christian sees God as Daddy. Write it down. Others may call Him God, but we have a relationship with Him. He is our Father. That's why Romans will tell you, I think in verse 18, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We are not the ones that actually deal with God from a point of view of we are afraid of Him. Our relationship with God is a relationship of a child with his father. That's why he uses the word Abba Father. It is a Greek word to describe affection. You know, have you met some people who really have a good relationship with their dads? And the way they talk about it is that kind of one. Not the one that you see your father. Your father is coming back from work. How many people were like that? Your father is coming back from work. The moment he's turning into the drive, you run into your room. It's not that one. That's not Abba. Amen. It's the affectionate one. The kind of one that your dad is coming back from work. You are running to the car. Running to the door. That's Abba. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We revere our Father, but it's not a fear that makes us turn away. Because we know that even in our worst, we understand that this God is there for us. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. It is the same thing that is in the book of Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because we are... Okay, let's we get to verse 6. Are you there now? I hope I'm not too fast for you. Hope I'm not too fast. You know, you can say, Pastor, you're too fast because I'm teaching you. I'm not a stand-up comedian. Amen. I'm teaching you. So if it's too fast, you can tell me to slow down. Amen. Praise God. Because ye are sons, right? God has done what? Sent forth the spirit of his son. Where is the spirit of his son? In your heart. So what is it that makes you know that you're a child of God? The spirit of God. Where is that spirit? In your heart. Look at it there. The Spirit of God in your heart. Crying, Abba Father. So that spirit within you is bad teaching that makes you fear God. There is a spirit within you that says, God loves you. God cares. God wants you. God is there for you. God will never leave you. That's what the Bible says that spirit is saying. So if you hear something else, The spirit within you is crying. So there is a voice of affection from the spirit within you. So you must hear a wrong teaching that tells you God is angry and mad at you. So you now silence that spirit because of the new information that has hit your mind. That's what happens. Amen and amen. Church, amen and amen. Listen, let me tell you, saints, even when you are wrong, God comes for you. God is a father, not a dictator. That's why the answer to response, some people say things like, you know what, when I turn a good leaf, I will come back to God. No, we go back to God. In going back to him, he aids us in that journey. God is not your boss or your motivational mentor who just wants to know the good things about your life. And when bad things around you happen, they don't identify with you. You know those kind of motivational mentors? That's my son. It's because he just built maybe 5 duplexes and all those kind of, that's my son. If they cut that son in problems, now I don't know him. I've been teaching God's word. They don't hear. That's not God. Amen. God comes for you where you are. Hallelujah. God is the parabolic one that will actually leave the 100, or is it the 99? And go back for the one. Everyone is valuable in his sight. So listen, we are children of God. He loves us. Your situation cannot intimidate him. Rather, let him be part of the journey for you, with you. Amen. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We have received the spirit of adoption. Our Father is a life giver. We go back to Galatians 1. It's not about even sin. We were dead. We didn't have life. What did he come and do? Did he come and say, wow, that's some death right there. That is really some death right there. What did you do to die, make you die? No. He said, I give you life. Remember the story of the man in John 4. You see, it's bad preaching that doesn't make people fall in love with God. And that's why we take the gospel, so that you know this God as Father. Who? Jesus, he actually is going. Read it in John 4. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He decides to pass through a Samaritan town for a woman. What is the resume of this woman? 4 husbands. You know, if somebody in our day-to-day has 4 husbands, you know who we'll use that as nickname? Want to call the person. Maybe the person's name is Pelumi. Will be like, don't you know that lady? You will not call her Pelumi. That lady that we went to her 4 weddings and she's inviting us for number 5. We describe people with their problems. Even the writer described her with her problem. Because it's the nature of man. But God is not like that. You will have thought God had better business. God becomes a man interested in a woman that has had 4 failed marriages. And the woman is saying, you know what? He said, what did God give the woman that had 4 failed marriages? You'll have, you know, you'll have started marriage counseling in 4D. Love your husband. Treat him right. Did you open the door for him when he was coming out? Did you tell him good morning in the morning? This marriage that failed, see, if the first one was his mistake, the second one was his mistake, the third one is definitely your mistake. No! What did he say? I want to give you life. Let me tell you something. When you meet men that have not received the gospel, don't start trying to correct their behavior. Let them be born again. When they are born again, they will go through spiritual growth. Just pray that they have a good local church. You know, because people know that we are very strict. So they hide from us what they are doing. And so we are the messengers of the gospel that bring the answer to men. But we have an approach that is legalistic. People can't come near us. Let people be okay to say, you know what? I don't know what happened. I don't know what came over me. I stabbed that brother. Okay. Do you understand? If you are not a person that someone can come and meet, we have to change our love approach. True. Hallelujah. So that when men get into trouble, your neighbor, your name will ring. They will not be. You know, you'll be laughing with the Holy Ghost. What do I mean by that? He has done something wrong. And I said, go and tell Sister Jealous. Sister, who? Holy Ghost, come off it. Come off it. You should have said, I should go and tell BBC. Is that your life? Should that is that your life? You saying to the Holy Ghost, Lemao. Stop that. Holy Ghost, stop that in the name of Jesus. Who is that your life? You do not even call God a victory. Even that one says. No. The Holy Ghost suggests your name and they follow through. Amen. 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 We have no. Let's go back to the teaching. Who is God? The giver of life. That's God our Father. Who are you? You are the Son. What does that mean? We'll go back to Galatians 1. Galatians 1. Look at that. He says, who is God? Verse 1 tells us, who raised him from the dead? Who are we? Look at verse 4. Who? Okay, let's say, who is Jesus? Verse 3 tells us, Jesus is our Lord. How did he become our Lord? You know, I don't have a problem with this song. I'm crowning Lord of all. When you believe the gospel, that's when it happened, not when you are singing the song. You see, people just, in 2024, you have been born again for 24 years, you are just crowning him. No. Why? How did he become our Lord? Verse 3 says, grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. How did he become our Lord? Look at verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins. And when the message was preached to you, did you receive it? That's how you crowned him Lord. Whether you see it or you don't see it, Jesus is the Lord of your life. What we just always say is act like that. You know, when you have a Lord, he has his modus operandi. You said you are from, for example, if you are from the United Kingdom and you're not conservative, they'll be like, what's wrong? You know, they say Americans are very loud. Britons are conservative. So when you say a Briton, that is very, very loud, you'll be like, who is your Lord? Is King Charles still on the throne? Yes, that's what we're saying. Jesus is the Lord of your life because I'm going somewhere. He is the king that reigns. His kingship, how he became Lord, was that he did something sacrificial. Can I get a believing amen?
Amen.
What did he do? Because if you don't understand who God is and what he does, when we say do likewise, you'll be wondering why. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins? What did he do? He gave himself for our sins. What a scandalous God. Look at Romans 5, verse 8. Look at Romans 5, verse, let's look at it. Romans 5. That's why when someone says, I'm running away from, I am afraid of, you know, he doesn't know the gospel. Look at Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without, I want you to be there. When we were yet without, we were yet without strength, ability. In due time, Christ died for the church. Who did Christ die for? Did Christ die for any saint? Answer the question. No, you can't fail it. See, if you fail it, we can only laugh at you. It's okay to be laughed at. Don't think that it's not. You know what? After Fola finishes to laugh at you, you now know. If I ask the question again, you can answer better. Don't be part of that generation that doesn't want to make mistake. Say, Christ, did Christ die for the did Christ die for the God? He say, yes. I will say, it's not true. We all, next time. Did Christ die for the ungodly? You answer well. Don't get to. So be bold. Tell your neighbor, be bold in church. Amen. I'll be bold among the saints. If you are not bold among the saints, is it principality and power you want to be bold with? He said you are shy in front of saints. Amen. Amen. Are you hearing me? He said you are shy in front of saints. Say, no, I can't. I'm shy. Principality and power, what will you do? Demon, when someone just comes in, my name is Krana Kruni. I am a demon. You will most likely enter the ground. You say you are shy among saints. Stop that. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Look at Romans 5. How many people like the way I preach? You know, even me, I like it. Amen. Amen. Romans 5. Look at verse 6. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The scandal. Many had come before us and said, God is like this. God is a no-nonsense God. God will destroy you. God comes and says, who I save is the ungodly. You see, the message of salvation, when you believe it, is it brings forth a relationship with God that is beautiful. This one died for the ungodly. He didn't kill the ungodly. What did he do? What did the ungodly do to him? They killed him. But who? Why did he die? He died for them. Who is our God? The type of God that justifies the ungodly. I know you're ungodly. I am here to help. The same thing he told the woman by the well. I know you have four husbands, and the one you are living with, meaning you are a practitioner presently of adultery, because they still have not married you. So you are a woman with four husbands and a side chick. may I not write Bible? If I do, hey, I'll write four husbands and you are a side chick. The one you are with now is not your husband. What did he say? I want to give you life. Amen. 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 Look at God, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man. You know, if I'm going to the love walk, you'll be saying, yes, I like this kind of God. He dies for the ungodly. I'm going somewhere. For scarcely for a righteous man will one dare to die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some will even dare to die. So you can actually look at, just look at Sister Fola. She's a nice person, right? She's really good. That's Sister Diola talking. She comes to church regularly. She's very nice. Everybody likes Sister Fola. I can die for her. That's what Abbas is saying. He said, even now I said, Hey, Buki said, That's Buki. That's Buki counseling. You better don't waste your life. Who do you want to die for? Fola? Okay. Look at verse 4, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, one will dare to die. But God commended his love towards us in that while we are yet, this is the big deal. This is what makes us lay our lives down. This is what we are singing when we are saying, what a marvelous God. What should be on your heart should be, what kind of a God is this? He died for the ungodly. Amen. 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 Your singing must be Christocentric. The marvelous thing he has done for you is that you know your father cannot die for you. And he did. So there is, you know, all those very entitled parents. Without me, he said, mommy, without you, I won't have eternal life. I'm just joking. But it's true. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, but God commended his love towards us. Verse 8. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, he died. That's what springs a relationship with him. That is not fake. This God's got my back. Where did he meet me? He didn't meet me as a good guy. He met me dead in sin and he didn't walk away. He is that faithful friend that sticketh more than a brother. Yes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me show you where he says in the book of Proverbs. Open your Bible. The book of Proverbs. Let me show you there. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's him. That is him. You know, a lot of people don't like people getting close to them because they know, when you get close to me, you will know that I don't really have sense. Yeah? So people in our days are very, very, what do they call that thing? They have a block, a facade. How are you? Bless you. Oh, God is so good in our lives and family. Yeah, we just push everybody out. Why? See, I'm going somewhere. I hope you'll be laughing when I'm done. And that's why we have people that come to church. We laugh with each other on Saturday, on Sundays, and we don't care about each other till the next Sunday. We just have this whole, how are you? Oh my God, it's good to see you. Hug the brother, hug the brother, hug the sister. Oh, glory, glory, you're looking good. Because we know, or there is a suspicion we have. Hey, if Sister Dami should really see me. So when you say, how are you doing? I'm perfect and glorious. God is doing wonderful things in my life. He has turned me around, turned me. Hey, because you don't want anybody to come close. Because the judgment is, you know. You are not as certain of the love walk in that brethren. You know. You know that this bread, and that's where I'm going to, the love of God that has been shared abroad in our hearts. So people can say, you know what? I know that sister. Even in my worst, she will be there. I will not tell her my problem and she'll use the next 1 hour to say, ah, ha, ha, ha. You are not saying, what way? Should I have told her? Then the ha, they will start moving back from you. Ha, ha. Amen. 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 That's where I'm going. But who is God? He actually did what? He commended, he demonstrated his love for us, that while we are yet sinners, he died for us. That's how we pick up ministry. That's where we picked up from. Our mentor is that one that does the uttermost for the one that is not even deserving. So our service is not based on the fact that someone says thank you. Our service is not based on the fact that even that there is a need. We serve because we know. You know, it's a nature. Imagine breathing. They say, why are you breathing? I'm just breathing in and out in this nation. Normally, I won't. Say, normally, I won't. On my good days, I don't breathe. No, I don't do that. I'm too big for that. No, it's in nature. Even when you are sleeping, you can't say, good night. I love myself. I mean, the world to myself. and then you just... I mean the world to me, and you sleep, and you say, as I'm now, you get me. No more breathing. No more breathing. I don't do that. I do that. I'm serving the saints by breathing a minute. No. Even when we are sleeping, we breathe. It's in nature. This love is in nature. It is not a function of what the other does. Amen. That's why when man rejected God, God didn't get angry. Scatter everywhere. Say, who are they? Do they know who I am? I'm God Almighty. He will now be healing himself. Bigger than the biggest. Greater than the greatest. It's me. No. He already made a plan before man could mess up. You know, you should give allowance to your friends if you are doing the love work. You should give allowance that, you know what, Dami will soon show herself damnicious. Dami will soon do what Dami does. Amen. God demonstrates, this is the teaching. Because if I say, love your neighbor, love your husband, like, yeah, we heard it before. What, why? God demonstrated his love for us. So the love of God gives us another perspective to men. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Who are we? Galatians 1 verse 4. As we start to conclude, don't fall for the trap. Galatians 1, verse 4. Oh, we'll conclude now very soon so that we will go and prepare for a retreat. Don't still fall for the trap. Galatians 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins? Are you there? That he might, I want you to read it for yourself. Galatians 1, verse 4. What has God done? That he might deliver us. Are we delivered? That was, there is rescue. He delivered us from what? The present evil age. So, is there an evil age in the world? So, evil age will bet evil people. So, is there evil in the world? Why is there evil in the world? Because there's an evil age. Amen? Evil age, evil people. Everyone in that world is evil by nature. Not by action, by nature. So what does God come to do? The world, he rescues us from the evil world. But are we still in the world? Is the age evil? But are we still in the world? So we are no longer, but as believers, under the dominion of that evil age. Amen. So what did God do again? God gave himself that he might deliver us from the evil age according to the will of God. So the will of God was that you and I will be delivered, though we were the ones that hated God, angry against God. God gave us the map. We said no. We're not interested in that God. And then what has God done? God has given us his spirit, his nature, his life. Say, I have the life of God. Come on, what? Ask your neighbor, what did God give you? God gave you his nature, his life, his nature, his life. Remember that it's that same nature that made him die for the ungodly. Amen. So who did he give it to now? He gave it to you. Look at Galatians 5, verse 13. Amen. Are we together? Amen. Are we together? Amen. Thank you. Galatians 5:13. What does it say? For brethren, ye have been called unto church. Ye have been called unto. Hey, ye have been called unto. Unto what? Liberty. So, have we been called unto liberty? Yes. We have been called unto liberty. Thank you. We have. What is the liberty? Remember before now, we just said everyone is under the evil age. Right? But we have now been called unto liberty. Right? So, he now tells us, when we talk about liberty, your sins have been forgiven. Yes. You are now a son of God. Yes. As God sees Christ, so he sees you because you are in Christ. You know, today, right now, I can't see Buki's liver. But where is Buki's liver? All things being equal. You can't be guessing now. I hope he's not at home. Amen. Where is Buki's liver? It has to be inside her. That's what it means when we are in Christ. So when we are looking at Buki, do we say, wow, what a liver? No, we see Buki. Are you getting the point? You are in Christ. In. So who is the obvious reality? Christ. Amen. Church, amen. So when it says, for brethren, you have been called into liberty. So there is one new man. That new man is Jesus. Where are you? In him. There's one new man. You are in him. So you are have liberty, and that liberty is telling you that you are no longer under the evil age. So he now says, what do you do with this liberty? Look at it, it's there. Use not your liberty, because there's a temptation to do. Use not your liberty as an occasion to the, but by love, what do you do? But by love, what do you do? So, I have received the spirit of love. I am now in Christ. I am now free. No longer under bondage. Call it any words you want to call it. God is now saying, the fact, how many people have heard, you know, people think, now I'm born again, I can live anyhow. Is that what that is saying? He's saying, you are born again. You're born of the Spirit. But the freedom you have been given is the liberty and the freedom to serve other people in love. You know that you can even serve, but it's not coming from love. Amen. Church, amen. You know you can serve from eye service. You can serve because you want to be deacon. You know how it works. You have come around the local church long enough. Just come early. Mount camera. Sweep the toilet. Do it for 1 year or two. Before you know it, you are deacon. And you want to be deacon. You just like it after your name. Deacon Bukola. You just like it. They just call you. There's something on your shoulder. You just feel higher than life. So you're serving. Everybody's watching you. Wow! Oh my God! Deacon Bukola is here before us. Who shall we appoint to this esteemed position of the It has to be Bukola. So she comes out. And our new deacon will be Deacon Bukola. Hey! You know, everybody's looking at Deacon Bukola that she's serving. But God knows. Do you understand? And that is why, you know, if you fool yourself in Christianity, you only fool yourself, Pastor D, and others that are watching you. There is someone that sees all. Listen, in our kingdom, motive is the most important. Are you hearing? That is why he says serve. He didn't just end it there. He says, let it be love that now leads you to serve. Don't get it wrong. Even with giving, let it be love that leads you to give. And you know, that's why a lot of people don't like the gospel, really. It just looks like they love it. We are a new creation. God did it. It's not about what we are looking for until we get to money. But the motive behind your giving must be love. That's why the gospel must be preached. It's not, that's why I always preach in such a way. It's not that we want to preach your pocket out. No, we want to preach the gospel in. Because when we preach the gospel in, it creates a lover out of you. In creating a lover, it creates a giver. That's the process. Because even your giving must not be transactional. Look at it. I used to be like that. So I know. I'll bring out, I remember Dikin Chigozie is now a pastor. One day he saw me a calculator. I was calculating because I must not miss a pin. If I miss a dot in my giving, I thought maybe God would not be happy with me. But blessed be God, I didn't meet you before then. Amen. I'm sure you don't understand what I'm saying. Because guess what? You need to be calculating like that too. You receive salary up. But what should it be? Love for the saints. Love for the people. Love for the church. Love for the gospel. Saying, someone say, but Pastor, that is sacrificial. Yes, when Christ died on the cross, he must have been like this. Wow, what a nail. Oh my God. It's choking me. It's tickling me. No, it was sacrifice. So where did we get the gospel? It is convenient. We did not receive it from our Father, our Lord. So when we come and serve before people come, when we come and ensure that we are praying for people, oh, you must think the King Tosin doesn't have a job. That's why he will say he's praying for you for 6 hours. No, he does. Or he doesn't want to go out and take his wife somewhere that he has taken her before. No, he does. The reason why he's praying for you 6 hours and he's tiring is because, I hope so, I know so, love. I want to see that Buki will triumph in the will of God. And we will stand. You know, our love is that kind of love that will scare you. You first think, wait, there's something in it for them. There's something in it for them. Why are they on my matter? And he's just going, he's pacing around. What happened? Am I that bad? Amen. Amen. Look at it. For brethren, we're about to close now. You can start believing this one. Verse 13. It says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. So it mean that you can. You may say, okay, I know God has died for me. I do anyhow. I act anyhow. Nobody's. He says, no, don't do that. But use it. Use that liberty. Now that you know Christ has forgiven you of your sins, now that you know that that God has given you a new life, lay that life down to serve other men. Your life is no longer all about you. Is to the extent to which, so who is a Christian millionaire? To the extent of the lives you have been able to change by your activity of service. Are you hearing? Who started this particular love? God commended his love for us. That's why we might be against what people do as actions, but we love them. When you are trained right, you understand that discipline is love. Amen. Discipline, you know, if you're not careful, if you don't understand it like this, you would think that there is an ulterior motive to discipline. They stopped you from singing, you are angry. It is one of two things. It's either your voice is distracting us, or you're singing what we don't like, we don't think is edifying. So we come and we sit you down, we correct you. You don't go and start sulking. Are you getting what I'm saying? Discipline is love. And so you're open to that because you understand, this person has my best interest at heart.
Praise the Lord. Look at it there. It's there. We're now in verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt. You have to be there because we have only four more scriptures to go. For all the law is fulfilled. What you see as the law, it says it's fulfilled. The intent of it, thou shalt love thy as thy. You know, even there, the revelation is not love God. What's the revelation? Love your. So the love of God in your life, we see it in what you do to others. Amen. So amen. Look at it again. You are now in the next verse, verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed one of the other. So when we are not walking in love, what do we end up doing? He calls it biting and devouring one another. Romans 13 verse 8. Now that we are talking about love, we are now going to talk about sin very shortly, and then we will close. Romans 13 verse 8. It says, oh no man. Are you in verse 8? Church, are you in verse 8? We need, oh no man, anything. But to, for he that walketh in love has done what? Fulfill the law. Then he tells you the law is talking about there, which is literally the Ten Commandments. It tells you there, thou shalt not commit, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. And now, let me tell you something. If you love somebody, will you want to kill them? I'm just checking. Will you want to kill them? That's why love is the highest law. You can't say you love Buki, but you are the reason our wig is always missing. That cannot be love. It's not that. That's why we don't practice covetousness. It's love. It's not that you don't like. It's not that we don't like the wig or we don't want to take the wig. But we must think about Buki and the impact of that thing on Buki. So we'll rather leave it on our head. Amen. Therefore, as we close in the service, what then? I've done my third one. The fourth one is not really close. What then is sin in our kingdom? What then is holy living in our kingdom? It's not about, is drinking a sin? Is going to club party a sin? That's not how the believer looks at it. The believer looks at it, whatsoever I will do that will get another believer to stumble, whatever it is, it's not about is it a sin or not. I don't do it. Did you get what I just said? Because our kingdom is service driven. It's about the other man. It's not about God. God is good. When you miss it, God comes to you. God does not have a temperamental problem. God doesn't have anger issues. God is good. When you miss it, God is not angry. God wants to reach you, to train you, to do better. Because in doing better, that is what he did. When Adam missed it, he came for them. Where are you? Have you eaten? Have you embraced the life I told you not to embrace? When Cain messed up and killed the brother, God will always come for believers. The issue with sin is not about God. But there is God's system on the earth. It's about others. Jesus, parabolically speaking, was saying that, you know what? There are some people called righteous. He said, when we were hungry, this way we were hungry, you fed them.
when they were in jail, you went to visit them. He said, when did we see you? That's the best. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me. Jesus said, the people said, when did we see you hungry? You know, there's this hypocrisy that makes it look like, you know what, if God comes to the altar today and says he needs money, we'll give it to him. Amen. Imagine Jesus just appears here in his glory and says, Bookie. You know, we're just using it as an example. He said, Bookie. Before he says, I have a need, Bookie will drop everything. This Bookie, are you not glad that it's not your Bookie this year, this week? Amen. He said, finally. Right? If you say, God is here and God needs someone that would hoover the chair, you see everybody will be, wait, where's the hoover? It's me, I want to. But God said, when you did it for that brother, you did it for me. We can't give God anything. Forget all those memes, when there are some things you give God, God will stand up. God, if God should stand up for your matter, don't you understand there's a problem? You know, there's a way we teach it. Do this! If you dance, God will stand up. May God not stand up when you're dancing. Ah, what happened? It looks sound theologically. So it's So you think that God is just sitting like this? You just pa. You just give him maybe a zone. You say, ah, no, this is too much for me. Ah, he entered me. That's not God. That's Hollywood and Bollywood. That's not God. That's not. God is interested in what you do for the other guy. Because God reckons is that. That's why the proverb, the writer of Proverbs will say that he that mocks the poor is mocking the Lord. It has always been about God's passion is how you treat other men. God is fine. God is good. God does not have an emotional problem. God is interested in how we deal with other men. So he says all of these things. Love your neighbor as yourself. Look at verse 10. Romans 13, verse 10. For love. Someone say love. Walketh no. I want you to be there. That's how we are concluding this service. For love, what does it do? Come on. Love, what does it do? He walketh no evil. You know, if everybody remembers who we are, love works no evil. Do you know the kind of charismatic graces that will be unleashed here? You know, the devil can't get in our midst. Because when Sister Buki is down, Brother Tolu is there. She's able to call Brother Tolu and say, this was going on. Love worketh no evil. So she's not thinking, if I tell them my problem, you see, I'm linking it for you now. If I tell him, if I tell Brother Tolu my problem, when I'm saying prayer points in the meeting, this one. No, he still sees me for who I am and understands I'm a human being and I'm going through what I'm going through and is there for me. Love walketh no evil to his neighbor. You don't see that about and you're gossiping about that one, look at that one. No, he walketh no evil to his neighbor. You are thinking of the neighbor as Jesus. And that's why we give people, we keep extending the rope. We care. We show it. We keep at it. Because that's the way of our Lord. Can I get a believing amen? Love walketh no evil to his neighbor. Love is the fulfilling of the law. So think about this. What is sin? Sin outside of the normal ones, you know, now becomes what I do. Knowing my neighbor will be affected, and I do it. That's what sin is in our kingdom. I know this will affect. So even if it is not wrong. So for example, let me give you an example that might not rock your boat. We're about to close, doesn't matter. So you know that somebody has lived a chaste life of not drinking. Another example. And sees you as a Christian, a worthy Christian, and you drink, and you personally, because of your personal revelation that you have, you don't think there's anything wrong with drinking. When you are around that brother, should you open Shinaps or Bailey's or Moe and say, no, we are born again, we have liberty? No, you are insane. For that man will see what you are doing and think it is right, he will grieve his conscience, and the Bible records that sin as yours. My point is this: it is the love of God that actually helps us describe sin. Sin is that which we do, because the love of God is our neighbor-minded. So sin will be that that does not take my neighbor into perspective. Do you know it is the love of God and my neighbor that determines how I dress? Amen and amen. Amen and amen. It is the love of God that determines how I speak. And now, you know, when I'm using me, I'm talking about you. It is the love of God. You think our Dickie doesn't want to come here in his knicker and his shirts? You think he doesn't have? I think he doesn't have one or two. But he dresses the way he dresses because he understands this. There are some people that should not see his biceps. That's all.
You are laughing. Simi is laughing.
That is the reason why. That's the reason why. It's the same thing. It's not a matter of, you know what. It's not even about, you know, when I'm in church, I dress the churchy way. On my wedding day, they will see. We should not see. We should not see. You are not walking in love. And nobody, everybody's afraid. They can't tell you. They can't. So you shock the whole local church on your wedding day. On your wedding day, you are now in sin. Because many other women have looked at you and seen what you are doing and thinking is the way to do it, and you grieve their conscience. My point is this: when it comes to love, it's other people minded. So when it comes to sin, we know what sin is on its impact on other people. Rise up on your feet. So I'm a man of love. Everybody, rise upon your feet. And our ending scripture tonight is Romans 5 verse 5. Everybody please be there. Dikalabosa meaya. I want you to be in Romans 5 verse 5. Are we all there? There is someone you have received that makes you live this kind of life wherewith you are other people minded. So the husband's assignment in the home is to be the wife-minded. Wife is to be husband-minded. Hallelujah. Friend should be the other friend-minded. The other people-minded. What Christ has given you, the Spirit of God has dealt with self. Look at Romans 5 verse 5. Let's close. And hope maketh not. Are you there? Hope maketh not. Because the church, the love, where is the love of God? Is shed abroad. Where? By who? Where is the Holy Ghost? In us. How do I respond by faith? I'm a man of love. You've seen in there, you've seen the Spirit of love dwells here. I can love, I can serve, I can put on that first. Lift up your hands and declare these things. Uncle John, play for them. Declare with your mouth. I'm a man of love. I've got the Spirit.